a second to get there. First Timothy 1, all the way down verse 12. The Bible says, Paul speaking, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might, Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The title of the message tonight's The Pattern of Paul. Note the key verse in verse 16. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now, we understand that, you know, God sent his son. When God sent Jesus, when Jesus came to the earth, and I've shared this with you before, he walked, he lived as a man. He didn't use his deity to accomplish anything. He said, I can do nothing. He prayed to God the Father. And what Jesus was really showing us was how to live, the people that God intended, how man should live is what I'm trying to say. He was showing us how we should live and how it's possible. He prayed about everything. He surrendered his will. And it's a possible thing. If it wasn't, then he wouldn't have set that example for us to do that. But in light of that, and a lot of people don't realize, and they'll think, well, you know, Jesus did that. But at the same time, it was impossible for him to sin because he was God. You know, it's even though he showed us the example, he showed us how to do it. He stepped away from his deity while he walked as a man, and he did everything the way we could do it, with the word. When he went head to head with Satan, it is written. It's the same thing we do when we go against the world, against Satan, even against our own flesh. We can look in the word. There it is. We got a word for it. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the power, you know, to not do it. But at the same time, some people can't separate all that. So what Paul said right here was a guy, here's Paul, and he said, you know what, God used me, saved me. I was a sinner. I'm the chiefest of sinners, one of the chiefest sinners out there. He said, here I was. This is what I was. I did some things ignorantly. I didn't know, but I'm a man just like everybody else was. And so I think there he took that, and he said, you know, God has used me to set a pattern. He said, I'm a pattern, an example for everybody else to see. You can live, this is how you do it. You live. So he wanted it to be that. See, he said it, and he said he could show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so here he was, set this pattern up. And Paul was exemplary in like every aspect of his life. I mean, here was a guy, man, I mean, this guy was on fire, and no matter what he did, he was on fire when he persecuted the church, and he took that same passion, and when he got saved, he was on fire, you know, serving God. But listen, he was, every aspect, I mean, his study, the way he looked at the Word of God, the teaching, and how he taught divine truth, his devotion to the Lord, his zeal, his service, his fellowship, his walk with the Lord, his sincerity, his humility, his boldness, his endurance, his evangelism, every aspect of his life. You could take every aspect of that life. You can look them all up in the Bible, everything, how you know, he endured and all the things that he did and how he served God. Listen, there it is. This is an example. This is what it can be. This can be your life, the Christian life. You can do it. You name it. So he set this example for the church and to show us that it can be done. And, you know, listen, man, he did a lot of, he prayed. He said he said this about his own self. I don't think he was bragging. He was just telling us. He said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, he said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, you know, you would have to be careful sometimes with somebody. I think some of these cult leaders on TV and these people, they would say, be ye followers of me. Listen, I mean, we're to follow Christ, ultimately to follow. But here's the thing, we can be sure. Paul was following Christ. You can follow somebody that's following Christ. You can't, because they're going to stick. And we look at Paul's example. I mean, God used him. He wrote most of the New Testament, most of the writing there in the New Testament. Listen, we could follow Christ. And he said, well, he said it this way, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he gave us two examples right there, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 11. So he set this example, this pattern for us, and particularly in his prayer life. I love the prayer life of Paul. Man, I tell you what, when we read the prayer life of Paul and we see how far off base we are in our prayers, it's not that we pray for necessarily wrong things, but we're so one-sided, you know, we're so caught up in the physical, you know, the sickness and the, you know, limping and whatever's wrong with us, and the circumstantial, I guess. We're praying so much about outside circumstances of day-to-day life, that kind of thing right there. Boy, when you see Paul praying, I mean, he hardly ever prayed for that. I mean, and he said, listen, be an example. I'm setting this example for you. When Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road and he was on his way to persecute the church, and the Lord met him. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm just Jesus, you know, whom thou persecutest and all that. And he said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And in Acts 9:11, it says, Jesus spoke to this guy named Ananias, and he said, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, which is Paul. For behold, he prayeth. For behold, he prayeth. That's what Jesus said. And I like that. Listen here, Jesus took note. In other words, he heard him. He took note. He said, listen, he's praying. That's a pretty quick answer to the prayer. Huh? He prays. Ananias, go see this guy. He's praying. He said, I want you to go and tell him what I'm going to have him do. I mean, man, that's answered prayer, Paul. That God answered. I mean, there's proof right there. We see he answered. So when we think about that, he prayeth. I think this was the keynote of Paul's life. He prayeth. He prayeth. He prayeth. See, I'll say it here in a minute. I'll get ahead. Yeah, it's right here. Prayer is really the outcome of faith. Nobody prays that doesn't have faith. And even those of us that say we have faith, I like Harold. As Harold said this one time, it always stuck in my mind, that generalities in prayer is unbelief in disguise. You know, when you really don't, you know, when you don't get specific in your prayer life. I mean, why don't we just say tonight, hey, listen, Evangelum, Lord, just save everybody that's lost. That ain't how he wants us to pray, right? I mean, he don't want to. God lay somebody on your heart, right? A person with a face and a name, and somebody that was within our realm. Right? Lord, this man needs to be saved. You know, how about praying this? Lord, use me to reach him. We don't want to pray that prayer, because now we got to do something, right? It's a commitment. You know, but here's, you know, generalities in prayer. I mean, you know, be with us and do this and do that. I mean, man, listen, I think it's really, we don't believe, like when we say, man, you know, like Caleb in the Old Testament, instead of saying, Lord, just bless me, he said, give me this mountain right here. I want this mountain. 80-some years old, 85, I think. Give me this mountain. He said this is what he wanted. What do you want? I was talking to some people today after church. I said, listen, whatever, pray, what is your need? What is your problem? You know? Well, Lord, I'm afraid. Pray about that. Lord, I don't know. I don't know this, or I don't know that, or I need to pray about those things, whatever it is. Lord, I'm not a very good prayer. Pray about that. Lord, I don't pray as much as I should. Pray about that. Huh? Lord, I'm afraid to talk to somebody about it. Pray about that. Huh? But get specific on what, you know, this is what you have to do. And so, boy, Paul prayed, man. And so prayer is really a simple, I like this definition. It's a simple outcome of faith if you really believe it. I mean, you know, you really believe you're going to pray for those specific things if you really get here. And we talked last week, when I preached, about praying in the will. When we're praying in God's will, it's really God's prayer. I mean, it's Christ praying, right? It's his prayer. That's a prayer that's going to get answered. we're praying in God's will, see. So, and when we pray knowing that God hears our prayer, when you really know you have an audience with God, just think how different if you were, if there was the Lord in a physical presence and we stood in front of him and prayed, how different would your prayer life be, or how direct would it be when you talk to somebody, you know, really directly? I mean, Jesus meant for Paul to be a pattern for us in everything, but particularly prayer, and I can say other things in his life. So the first point that I have for us tonight is Paul's habit of prayer. Paul's habit of prayer. And I got a bunch of them things written down, and I want you to listen, and I'm taking excerpts from his prayers in the Bible and how different they are from our prayers most of the time. In Romans 1:9, Paul said, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Here's Paul when he was praying for other believers, other at a church, people at a particular church. He said, I pray for you always. I make mention of you. I mean, make mention, not just generally. I think he was calling names. Romans 10, chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So what did he mean? Now, there were specific people that he prayed for, but man, he wanted that nation. He wanted that whole nation to believe that Jesus had come, that he was the Savior, that he was the one, that they would be saved. That's, man, he had a burden for his people. I mean, he had a burden for us people. We could nail it. I mean, we pray for America. We pray for the leaders of America. I mean, those are big general prayers. We can pray for those, but then we can get specific too. That, boy, what do we pray? But this nation would turn to God, that we would put godly people in office and see this nation turn back to God. And, you know, that kind of prayer right there, man. And I mean, he just had a real burden for the Jews, his people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Here's the Apostle Paul thanking God on somebody else's behalf that they had received the grace of God. Maybe he was thinking that they wouldn't thank God for it. But he's just thanking God for the grace that God had given them or us, you know, like if we prayed for our people we know that had gotten saved, man, he was thanking God for that. Thank God in his prayer. In Galatians 4, he said, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's a deep verse. I mean, travail in birth, you know, when a women bearing children, I mean, that kind of earnest, you know, anguish, pain, really, he had he wanted it so bad. He wanted them to, that Christ to be formed in them, which is really growth. He's talking about growth there. Ephesians 1, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. There's another one, giving thanks for people that he knew, different churches, people in different churches. In Ephesians 3, he prayed that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How often do we pray for that, for people, for all of us to be strengthened, with might, power, by his Spirit in the inner man? Man, that's what we need. Huh? That's the prayer life, man. I mean, you know, really praying, I mean, it's not, you know, sickness and disease and all that. That's fine and dandy. But, man, I mean, what about our spiritual side? Boy, what do we all need? We all need to be strengthened. We all need to grow. You know, we need that. We need somebody praying for that. We need to pray for it. We need to pray for each other in that thing. This is what was on Paul's mind. I mean, when we get to the end, you're going to say, Paul, the main thing that Paul wanted to pray about was spiritual growth. He prayed for salvation, but he prayed a lot for spiritual growth in God's people. He said in Philippians 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. I mean, man, with joy. He didn't think it was a burden. Man, he made this request. He loved it. Colossians 1. We give thanks to God, praying always for you. Do not cease to pray for you. Went on to say that. 1 Thessalonians 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. There it is again. He tells them he's making mention of them. 1 Thessalonians 3. We joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In other words, man, they prayed night and day exceedingly that they would see him and that they would perfect or bring to completion, help their faith along. They wanted to be able to do that. When's the last time that you prayed that you could help somebody else's faith come to completion or, you know, fullness? Boy, that's something that we should pray. We should be praying for others in that sense. Boy, God would really be using us, wouldn't he? God would be using some people in that way. But we don't pray for those things a lot of times, generally speaking. 2 Thessalonians 1, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you. Man, there's all kind of prayer. There's all kind of prayers. I didn't exhaust them. Those are just pieces of prayers that Paul prayed for. Pray, and what another word that you kept seeing over and over again, always and without ceasing, night and day. He said that this is just not a one-time prayer, one time in the morning, you know, one time in the week. Man, he was praying. They were praying night and day. This was a burden on their heart. They kept talking to God about it, talking to God about them. And I think sometimes, I know I'm guilty of, I'll get somebody on my mind, get a burden. I might pray for them every day in the morning sometime, and that might be about it, which, and then down the road after a while, kind of they drop off the charts there a little bit. You know, you got some other thing coming up. We're not praying without ceasing. I mean, constantly. And listen, we need constant prayer. There's not a blanket prayer. There's not a blanket prayer for everything. Like we're going to pray, okay, it's the first of the year. Let's pray this year that we're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and never pray for that again. You know, we don't just pray at the beginning of the year. We, you know, when you desire something, when you want something. How many of you, when you was kids, you bug your parents to death for something you wanted? Oh, come on, come on, come on, Mom, come on, huh? And you keep on and on and on. When you really wanted it bad, huh? When I was a little boy, I remember my parents. I can kind of vaguely remember. It was one of those fuzzy stages when you're like 3 or 4 years old. You remember? I had it for years. It was a little gray elephant, Jumbo, the elephant. Well, it might have been Dumbo, but Jumbo. I don't know what I called him. Anyway, it was gray. Had a little red ball on the end of his snout. We went to some store, like most kids, you know, like, you know, kids all the time. Charlie does this a lot. Oh, buy this, buy that, buy this. But for some reason, my parents said that I saw that thing when we were going out the door. They had one of them bins with the toys in it. And I wanted that elephant so bad. And I cried. They said, man, like, I'd never done this before. I mean, I'd just forget about it if they didn't get it. But I had a fit. They was all the way out on the highway. They turned around. Because, man, I wanted that elephant. I was up against the glass looking at the store, leaving. We're out in the parking lot driving away, and I'm smeared up against the glass looking at the store. You know, and I remember that's the part in my mind I can remember. I remember looking out the window, and I was crying. I wanted that elephant so bad. They turned around and went back and got it, and I kept that thing. I was a grown man. It was probably in the attic. You know, the heat does to it. It, old Dumbo finally fell apart. Huh? But you know what? It was some earnest pleading for that. Well, that's what gets God's attention, though. Got my mom and dad's attention that, hey, this isn't any toy that he's wanting. This just is something about that. There's something stuck in their mind. Never saw me that earnestly wanting something. And they went back and got it. Now, I tried that with a Corvette when I got older, but it didn't. Still didn't get that. But you know what I'm saying? But here it is. Look at the picture. That was my father, right? My mother, my father. And we, our Heavenly Father, when we're crying for the things that God, that's in God's will, remember praying in God's will, the same thing. And this was it. And it was just a pattern that Paul had. He prayed without ceasing. Listen, this is what his daily life consisted of. This wasn't like, oh, we got a special event coming up, a revival, and so we started praying. This is what he did every day. This was how his prayer life looked. I mean, they prayed. Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I bet you he prayed more than 3 times a day. I think it just says that he did pray 3 times a day, and I think he prayed probably at other times. But like in the lion's den would have been a good place. But he prayed, you know, but he had a habit, man, in the morning, noon, and night. Well, if we just get in that habit, we'd be good if it'd be sincere. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and he had, when we think about Paul, he had a sense for the need of grace and power of heaven being brought down for the young converts in prayer. That's one thing he really prayed for. He really prayed for young converts, new churches, new Christians, people that were going to get saved, because he knew everything came from above. Everything had to come from God. We depend too much on our own self. We depend too much on our own charisma or our knowledge or our wisdom of our gifts that came from God anyway. But we depend too much on ourself and use God for the crisis in our life. And no, Paul's habit was he prayed. Man, I mean, we already see his intellect. We already know his relationship with God. We see what he could write. He said he wasn't a very good speaker, but I believe he was. But he had a need, man. Listen, we need this all the time. He said, listen, we can't depend on it. Everything's got to come from God, everything. And when we realize that, it's just like we can't, you know, live without it. We've got to have it. Now, he didn't look at his prayers as a duty. Oh, well, you're supposed to pray, so I better pray. That isn't how he looked at it. He didn't look at it as a burden. Oh, man, prayer time again. You know, I need to get down and pray. Let me see how much time I got. All right, I got a minute. You know, that isn't how he looked at it. It wasn't a burden. It wasn't a duty that he did it. It was something. It was in his heart. It was the natural thing. It was just, and think about that. The Christ life, I mean, if we're really living a surrendered life and Christ is dwelling in us and it's his will and it's his life in us, wouldn't we be a praying soul? Huh? Wouldn't we? We'd be a praying soul, right? Why? Because Jesus was praying, you know, praying soul. It was natural. It was a natural thing. A natural turning of his heart to the only place that the answer could come from. He knew that. That was his habit of prayer. And then we think about the contents of his prayer. And I tell you what, probably more important than the frequency of prayers are the content of our prayers, the content. And we already talked about this, like I said, you know, our confidence in prayer has to do with knowing that we're praying according to the will of God. We talked about that. I mean, we know we're praying according to the will of God. That ought to give us all the confidence in the world that he's going to hear and answer our prayers, right? And I quoted a lot of Paul's prayers to you, several pieces of them. You know, there's some of them there. We're going to look at some other things in a minute. But his first desire always for Christians were that they might be established. Established kind of has to do with foundational things in the Christian life. He talked about that a lot. This is what he wanted to do. And, you know, he prayed for conversions, but he also knew how weak, well, not only young converts, but even old converts, how weak we really are. He knew about that. I marked a couple of places in my Bible. I'll just read Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. He said, this was Paul in the middle. He's already praying. He's up there. He talked about not ceasing to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I might have quoted that. And then he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And there's a mouthful. That's a lot. That's deep. That he's praying for God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, enlightenment, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And he went on and talked about far above all principle. Think about that. He's talking about he's praying that we would know the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead experientially, not just know about it. I mean to know it experientially, that we would know the power of the resurrection in our life. This is what he's, man, that's deep. This is good. This is praying right here, man. This is what we ought to be praying about. This is what we ought to be praying about, that we would know that, the power, that resurrection power. He talked about that. Man, the power of Christ. Prayed for enlightenment, 17 through 18, which goes along with wisdom, knowing that. And then the power in verse 19. Man, the power of Christ. I mean, what a thing to pray for. It's what we ought to be praying for. you have not because you ask not. Didn't the Bible say that? And we ask for everything but that. Things that don't matter. Things that's not going to matter in the long run. Really, we pray a lot for those right there. Ephesians 14 through 19, he prayed that, let's see if I, in Ephesians 3, just over a page, 14 through 19. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory." Listen, not I like this. I preached on this before. "Not out of the riches of his glory, but according to the riches of his glory." And there's a difference. "To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now think about this. This is written in a letter. Here's Paul's prayer that was written in a letter to an Ephesian church. They usually had church on night at night. And they would be standing there, somebody would be standing right in the pulpit just like this, reading this same thing to the church. That's what Paul's praying and reading. That's what Paul said, just like that. Now we have in church just like they had church. Huh? Read that right there. I mean, look at that. Man, that's deep stuff. Man, and you get down there, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, we need that, may be able to comprehend, understanding with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, as know as much of it as we can, right? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, man alive, this is praying. This is on praying ground, right? You praying in the Spirit right there. The whole when we're filled with the Spirit, our focus is totally different. Huh? We're not looking at circumstances out there. We're looking at what God can do. This is powerful stuff right here. This is what Paul prayed for all the time. This was like if Paul came and sat in a prayer meeting at an average church today, he would be looking around saying, "This is the most shallow stuff I've ever heard in my life." He can't even, when are y'all going to pray about this? About growth and knowledge, and then wonder why we're always defeated and don't have any impact and force in the world, that we're not praying for that. I mean, this is what he said. This is what we need to do. See, we say, okay, well, we got to confess this, man. We got to get this. And this is what he's writing this to a church. We're reading it at a church. They read it. Matter of fact, they say that back in, they would pass a lot of these letters around. The epistles got passed around to all the churches. Eventually, this letter might have got carried off to another church, and they read it somewhere else because they didn't remember. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have a canonized word like we do. Man, can you imagine how exciting that was? That day you get in church, they said, "Hey, we got a letter from Paul, the Apostle Paul. We got a letter from the Apostle Paul." Woo! I think I'll show up tonight. The pastor's going to read a letter from the Apostle Paul. And everybody run in to find out what it was about. And then he'd read the same thing I just read to you. And everybody's going, "Wow, man, that's good. Read it again, preacher. Read that verse again. Read it again." Huh? Yeah, you know, is this what we're getting? We're getting something from God, right? Just think about that. And then we learned something. This is all they knew about praying. And, you know, man, what a great prayer. A prayer for the fullness of Christ within us. And I pastored for years and didn't think about praying. I mean, in the last several years, when I started really looking at the Christ life, I started praying for these things. Probably could be a little more specific and a little deeper and a little more frequent. But I still pray for that and for us, you know, for the church. And, this is what Paul did. And these things that he's talking about, listen, you can't go to Walmart and get it. Huh? You can't get it on your own. Sometimes we got circumstantial things going on in our life and we're praying for, and we really can, God can use us, a human being, to get it done, and we can do it ourselves. We can go out and get it done. But this stuff here, no, you can't go to Walmart and get this. Can't get it on Amazon either. Huh? Can't order it and have them drop it off. It's got to come from God. It's the only place it'll come from. It's got to come from God, so you have to pray to God for it. It's not going to come. Listen, you can study all you want and you should, but you're not going to get it either. You're not going to get what he's asking. Huh? Because you're not going to get what he's praying for on your own. You'll never do it. Huh? You can plow up some ground and get equipped and get ready and all that. But a lot of that, the eye enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment, fullness of the Spirit comes from God. You know, you ain't going to get to a place like, well, you know, because I went to service every week this week and I read my Bible every day and because I prayed once, twice, three times a day and all of a sudden I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. No, it still comes from God. It still has to come from God. Man, this is it. This is the only place you can get it. And Paul knew it. It's a great prayer. And when we pray for these things, here's another thing. You can expect to get it. Huh? God isn't up there thinking, I got some of them saints down there, they're not getting that. Not somebody that really sincerely is asking, so is I. You can expect to get this. Some of the other stuff we pray about, we might not expect to get. We can expect to get this. This is what God wants, and he's wanting you to ask for it. He's wanting you to pray for this. You get dry enough, you get thirsty enough, what do? Go drink water, don't you? Uh-huh. That's what God wants you to do. Boy, you get thirsty enough, hit the well. Hit the well. He knows it. In Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul had prayed. He prayed for spiritual knowledge. He prayed for them to have a blameless life. He prayed for believers to have a fruitful life to the glory of God. Boy, that's a great, isn't that a great prayer? I mean, we ought to pray for each other for these same things, a spiritual knowledge, a blameless life, and a fruitful life. Man, I mean, that's great right there. In Colossians 1, 9 through 11 again, the same one, spiritual knowledge, understanding of God's will, strengthening, patience, and joy. Huh? Isn't praying for joy is a good thing, right? Well, I don't have no joy. What did you ask God for? I think fullness of the Spirit will solve that problem. Me personally, that's the way I think about it, have joy. In 1 Thessalonians, a prayer to increase and abound in love toward one another. Well, sometimes in churches you think, hey, this might be a good idea. We might have to pray for love towards one another, you know. I mean, that's something to pray about right there, that they would increase and abound in it. Not just have it, but increase and abound in love one towards another. That's what we should pray for. These are the prayers. Listen, God will answer them all day, every day. He answers these prayers. This will happen. And to establish their hearts in unblameable holiness. God said, be holy. Be holy. He's holy, therefore be ye holy. That's a command. Have you asked for God? God, ask God for that? What do we usually try to do? We try to do it ourselves. We try to work, do the works. Won't happen. Never happened. Never has happened. No, holiness comes from God. He makes you holy. Then the works are done. You know, that works that way. Everything is spiritual. Everything just about is spiritual that Paul is talking about here. He knew God. He knew what God could do. He knew what God would do. Because this was a natural thing. He said, you know what? I'm just thinking about it. Here's God. We got to look at it on terms like human terms so we understand everything. Here is God, and I believe this is true. God is busting at the seams. Have you ever been so anxious for somebody to, like, open a gift or something? You give them, you know, and you just can't wait. Here's God with everything he's got for us, just waiting for you to want it. Huh? And Paul's even asking, you know, praying for those things, for desire. That's another thing that he prays for. That's a good thing. He's waiting for it. And it's like God is just, he's waiting to pour out his love, to pour out his self, to fill you, holiness, knowledge, wisdom, love. He's dying to give it to us. He just wants us to want it, you know, because you can't give it something to somebody that doesn't want it, doesn't want to get it. And so everything is there. And if you know it, if you know these things and you believe it, you'll pray for it, not only for yourself, but for others in intercession. You'll pray for it for others. You know this. Man, this is it. That'll take place. Listen, you know, look, Jesus, when he walked, just think about it. He took 12 men and he started teaching them, imperfect as they were, like us. He started teaching them and sent them out, buddy, and they shook the world up. Man, turned the city upside down. We outnumber them. Huh? Some of the smallest churches outnumber the disciples that he started with, as far as the apostles go and what he really started with. Why? It can still be done. It's still his desire. It's still his desire. Jesus still has his will to be done on earth through us. That's still his desire. It still can be done, man, but we're not asking him for the right things. We get down there and pray this way. It'll make a difference in your life. God has answered these prayers. He will. He'll answer these prayers. The third thing we see is Paul's request for prayer. Paul didn't only believe that new Christians and weak Christians needed prayer, but he himself, he knew that he himself, the Apostle Paul now, knew that he himself, as a member of the body of Christ, was dependent on his fellow Christians and their prayers. Used to be a guy on the radio down here in Roanoke. It was like Freedom Baptist Church, black fella. Had a lady here one time, worked with Leon. She'd go to that church. She went to that guy's church. He always sounded like an old guy. You know, old black preacher. That's what he sounded like to me. And I asked, he was on the radio that I was on the radio with. I was on the station. And Ben Payton was the owner of the radio station. I asked him, I said, Ben, how old's that guy? He's about in his 40s. I thought the guy was like 90, man. I mean, that's what he sounded like on it. And he would start off real slow. And he'd read the text, you know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And then he'd say something, and he'd pray. And he always said this, though, I'll never forget, I need your prayers. Now, when he got preaching, he went along pretty good clip. When he started out, but he always said, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayers. We can't even do that. See, sometimes we get like prideful. Pride will cause us to do this. Well, I don't need anybody to pray for me because I can pray for me. Paul didn't think that. Paul said, listen, I need you praying for me. I need you praying for me. So, man, my preacher, he ain't no good. Well, pray for him. Boy, that was the sorriest message I ever heard. Well, you should have prayed for it a little bit more, right? I mean, that's it. We need everybody. And you guys, I could say, well, that's the sorriest church member. Well, hey, am I praying for my church, my sorry church members all the time? This is what we have to do. He preached for 20 years and still asked for prayers that he might be able to speak as he ought to speak. For each day. Man, like I said, not just one time prayer for all time. He said, listen, I need this prayer every single day. In Romans 15, verse 30, right at the end of verse 30, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That's what he was saying to him. He's telling him, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for God's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me. So that means Paul is praying, and he wants them to pray in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is what he asked for. That's what he asked for. He said, man, I want your prayers. I want your prayers. In 2 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, he said, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Helping by prayer for us. He prayed for himself to be able to speak boldly as he ought to speak in Ephesians 6. Man, I mean, this is what he needed. Jesus prayed and taught his disciples to pray. Paul prayed and taught the church to pray. And both call us to believe and to prove that prayer is the power both of the ministry and the church. This is it. The Spirit from heaven and prayer on earth were to him inseparably linked. Now here's the point. I'm almost done. In all his instructions, Jesus spoke more often to his disciples about their praying more often about their praying than their preaching. He talked to them more about their praying than he did their preaching. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Pray and pray and pray. And man, it's really, and it's not just the, and I mentioned it earlier, but it's not just, oh, hey, I need to pray. I ought to pray so I can say that I prayed. Man, it's what we're praying. It's praying in belief that God is really here and God's going to answer the prayers if it's in his will. Now, he don't answer every prayer we pray because we're not praying in his will. But when we're filled with him, we can't help but pray in his will. We just will. You know, it's just going to work that way. And man, if once we get that straight and realize that, man, we need strength for every single day. Man, I don't start a day. I usually don't start the day without praying. I know Satan fights. Listen, he fights me just like he does everybody else. And there's some days that, man, I can get sidetracked in a New York second. Man, I can get, but man, I usually try to sit down. I get up first and it's quiet. I read my Bible. I have some prayer. And when Sherry gets up and comes out, then we pray together. For the day, we get ready for that day, and then we start our daily business off. Truth be known, probably ought to take time out midday and pray, and then in the evening pray and give thanks, whatever I need to do. We probably, you know, we could do better than that, but I'm saying, listen, man, we got to really believe. In Jesus' farewell discourse, he said little about preaching, but much about the Holy Spirit, and they're asking whatsoever they would in his name. That's what Jesus said. Now, you know, last week I talked about his will. You know, we don't ask anything, just throw his name on the end of it, and that's going to happen. It meant when we pray in his name, we're really praying what he would have prayed if he was in this, and he is praying through us that way. That's what he talked about more than anything. Because, see, that's going to be the, once if we have the fullness of the Spirit that he spoke about in prayer, all the rest of the stuff, the preaching, the talking, the serving, evangelism, service, all that will be taken care of. It'll all be done. That's why it's so important. So what an example. We got an example of Christ. We have an example of Paul, and he was so confident that he could say, listen, you can be followers of me as I am followers of Christ. You can follow. I'm setting an example for you. I'm going to set a good example for you. Every Christian should be able to say that. Every Christian should be able to say that. So we need to pray. This is what we need to pray. Help us. Just show us how shallow and feeble our prayer life has often been. Help us to pray in God's will believingly. Believingly. Believe that God is here in that very moment. God is hearing. And I shared this with you several times, but I'll say it over and over in case you don't get it. When I realize that God is dwelling in me, I don't picture God in heaven when I pray. I don't picture him standing near me when I pray. I picture him in me when I pray. I'm talking to him in myself, within myself. So now I'm talking out loud, but I mean, I'm talking to him in myself. We know he hears. Then I know he hears. And that believe that he is able to do far above what we ask or think. We can't think big enough. It's not possible. And help us to move beyond only the physical and move into that spiritual realm of Christian life. This is a spiritual life. It's a spiritual life, and prayer is about as integral a part of that as anything else could be. Pray and pray and pray in that spiritual sense. Amen? Amen. Hope you all make. Hope that helped you. Paul will come up, and we'll have an invitation time, and when we get ready to pray, think about the things we could pray about. Man, we could pray a lot about our own self, our own spiritual life. We can pray for each other. We all need to pray for each other. I think when we get something out of this, we pray for each other.